Chapter 2, beginning with exhorting on being sober-minded, self-controlled, and that the grace of God leads us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, to live godly, and in the word godliness, I'm hearing myself here in my head. I don't like that. So anyway, we learn to live godly or godliness, which in the Greek is to have a devotion, an outward devotion based on inward respect. And what you have respect for and you see the value of, you'll be inclined to devote yourself to that. So we were looking at those things. I want to kind of take off, I'll relate back to some of that. But I want to take off on another thought here. So open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And something I want to begin to address here is trends. This is something that's been stirring in me for weeks here. I've been pondering over some things, trends or the times that we're in. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 1 says, "This know, in the last days, perilous times shall come." And we're in the last days. Each day we live, we're closer to the end times. But it speaks of perilous times, or there'll be dangerous times. And there's a lot of upheaval happening all over the world right now. And these next verses describe some of what's going on. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers." That means not keeping your word to an ally, whether they're domestic or foreign nation. Oh, why did I say that? It's current events. Yeah, but as we're reading through this, you can just see it's all around us. All this stuff's going on. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, or high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, I'd mentioned, you know, we have to be mindful of what we're allowing to influence us. And, you know, you have DUI, driving under the influence. We want to be WUI, walking under the influence of the Holy Ghost. You know, either the Spirit of God's influencing us directly or indirectly through others, or something of this world or of the demonic realm, something would be influencing us. Jesus referred to us as sheep. Sheep follow. You know, so we follow. What are we being led by? You need to understand that so that, you know, you're not being manipulated and led by something that's not good. We want to be led by the Spirit. But he mentions having a form of godliness, or outwardly there can be the appearance of like a devotion or appearance of some sort of consistency, but if we deny the power of God, we don't have the power to maintain anything. We don't have the power to walk it on through. So, and he says, pull back or don't fellowship, don't allow the influence upon your life of those that deny the power of God. Because we need the power of God. "For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust." Which you see, those that enter into this realm will try to manipulate others for their own gain. You know, in this particular case, there's a mention here of silly women, or shallow, not very deep, easily led astray. I want to focus here a minute in this next verse. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, someone's reprobate, that means your conscience is hardened. You don't really feel conviction anymore. And that can be in process of happening, you not even realize it. You know, things that were once you would deem a sin, is it okay now? You know, to you? You know, we should grow in our sensitivity to the Spirit of God, not become hardened and decrease. Sometimes there's a hardening process, and the way that works is every time you say no to the Holy Ghost, you start the hardening process where you get a little bit harder, a little bit harder. On the other side, as you say yes, 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 you're more tenderized, you're more sensitive in your spirit to Him. Not sensitive emotionally, not sensitive, oh, my feelings are hurt. I'm not talking about that. See, that's how the world is. They're all hypersensitive. Their feelings are going to get hurt. We need to be sensitive to let the Spirit of God lead us, but be strong in our spirit to withstand against evil. So verse 7 here says, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And one of the things I've really been thinking about some, like in over time, there are major changes that happen that changes human behavior. Now, for the longest time, centuries and centuries and centuries, you had people more so work with hand tools and everything was by hand. Then came the industrial age with the development of machines, and everything changed with machines. Do you know that in 1940, before we entered into World War I, 50% of Americans lived on a farm? Now it might be like 1%. But 50% of people. And that could have been small farm, could have been large farm. That wasn't the point. But they lived on a farm and were used to doing a lot of work to provide for themselves. You know, and women would churn their own butter. And, you know, you would have your chickens and cows and all this and garden. And people would put up food. Now it's so cheap to just, well, of course, there's inflation. I don't know if I should say that anymore. But it had developed. It was cheaper just to go buy it than even do yourself anymore. A lot of things became like that. And, you know, so people were losing those arts. But I remember growing up, it was normal, like my grandmother's, they call it canning, but it's actually jars, putting all this food up for the winter. And my wife's grandparents, when they were both killed in a car accident together, simultaneous, but when they went through their stuff in their house, they had three freezers full of food put up. Now, they were ready for the next Great Depression because they lived through the Depression of the 30s. So they put all this food up, and they're going through this stuff, and some of it was dated. It was like 3 or 4 years old because they would garden, and they kept putting up more and more food for the proverbial rainy day, because there was this fear of not having because they didn't have. And I know that generation, they grew up, and that was in their mind. They lived through the Depression. And so they would really go overboard with things like putting up food and all that, and they would garden and provide those things for themselves. Well, as we continue to launch forward into the industrial age, the mechanical age, we have machines for everything. And my wife, she used to view her machines as her servants. And she wouldn't curse them, she would bless them. Bless the dishwasher, bless the washing machine, and so forth. Because back in the old days, I get such a kick out of saying this. In fact, at breakfast, we were just talking about back in the old days, you know, the good old days. Yeah, don't forget that. Like Dale said, you know how old you are if your car had a cup holder or not. And I was telling them, my first vehicle was a pickup truck and had a gun rack behind the driver's siege. I don't think they make them like that anymore. You probably aren't even allowed to do that. I don't know. I mean, do you ever see people with gun racks and guns behind them? I'm talking about York County here. Yeah, this was York County. But anyway, you know, things change so fast. And now they're changing at such a rapid rate. Within a generation, it just changes so radical. And it blows my mind, you know, how fast all this. Well, the reason I'm saying this has an effect on people. Now, with the advent of all the machines, we have more time on our hand, more discretionary time. So what most people would begin to do is use more time for pleasure, where they used to have to work all the time. You know, when you're doing everything by hand tools and all the rest, and I don't know, maybe Aaron Ray, you would know statistically, like, how many acres someone could farm back in the old ways compared to now, where you have like a big tractor that can pull like an 8-bottom plow or however many they have on there, compared to walking behind 4 horses with a single plow. You know, they can do so much more, so there's more time on their hands. Now, if you have a mind for productivity, you could use that time to be even more fruitful, or more time for the glory of God. But the way the flesh tends to go, it's more time for my own pleasure, more time for play. So it actually is undermining, you know, all of the advancements and developments undermines fruitfulness and productivity. I remember hearing some years ago, James Dobson on the radio, and he was talking about, you know, women, their complaints with men and all that. And he said, I don't think men have really changed that much over the years. What he was saying, this really struck me. And this is probably like 35 years ago I heard this. He said that what's changed is women, how they are living's changed. Where it used to be, you know, they'd churn butter together and they would do quilting together and they do all this stuff together. Well, now all that's done for them and they don't have that thing they're doing together, so they're expecting their husband to provide that which they used to draw from working together with other women. I thought, that sounds right, bud. And every now and then, you know, I'll tell my wife, I said, Donna, I'm not your girlfriend. You know, because sometimes women can want a man to provide what they would be looking to draw from another woman. It's like, I'm not going to sit here and empathize with you and say, let me hear all your emotions and feelings. Now, I'll hear some of that. I mean, I'm not dismissing that. But women will pair up with another woman and they want to share their feelings and all of this type of thing. And women will always pair up. I learned when we had our high school, to have an odd number of females in a group is always trouble. You want an even number because, you know, once you're done with what's required, they will pair up and want to share their feelings. Guys, you get a gang of guys together, we're going to conquer the world together. We're going to work. We're going to do something productive. Guys don't care about that. In fact, I found with young people, you know, if you do something physical with them, with males, maybe after a couple years, they'll share something or feeling in their heart. You gain their trust. Guys aren't interested in that. We got to conquer the world together. You know, maybe that conquering is that basketball team over here, we got to beat somebody, you know, because of that male thing to dominate, to have dominion. Well, we need to focus that on the work of devils and conquering our own flesh, not conquering people. Well, things are changing continuously, and we have to be able to adapt to that and recognize what is going on, and not just be like a complainer. You know, we can see what's these first few verses, and and just complain endlessly about all that's going on, but can I understand it to somehow make a difference, or to understand why are people acting the way that they are, and then have an answer for this? What verse 7 says, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we've transitioned from a mechanical age to the information age. Love my iPad. I have a phone. You have a phone. You have a laptop. You have a computer and all that. Now, these things are merely tools. And tools can work for good or for evil. You know, you have your crazy people out there say, well, guns kill people. Yeah, but you can protect people too. Fire could burn a house down, but it can heat your house. You know, it's a matter of what are you using it for. And tools are that way, and they need to be used properly. Now, with the digital age, we have access to information in a way the world never has. I remember as a kid, something that people would do for their kids is buy a set of encyclopedias. If you were an encyclopedia salesman, you'd be a hungry boy today, because who wants to buy, you know, like 35 volumes of encyclopedias? Well, you can just get an iPad and you can access, you know, 1,000 times more information in a moment's time rather than page through all of that. But I remember, you know, you'd have to do a book report for school and you have to dig out the encyclopedia and do your research. Now it's like tap, 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 tap. I love that. I can look up every word in the Bible. Tap, 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 tap. But that access to that knowledge, okay, even though it's a tool that has a beneficial use, there is a certain inherent downside to that that we're encountering and experiencing and may not even realize it. And you younger guys are growing up around that. That's your normal. Wherever it goes from this, someday as you get older, you'll say, yeah, back in the old days. Or for some of you, maybe you remembered you played Atari. You know, or you go online, you have to wait 10 minutes until you could access, you know, and then you ask for some information and be like 5 minutes later there it comes. And back then you thought, man, this is the most awesome thing ever. And now it's just like tap, 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 bing, there it is, there it is. Well, this is a trend, and there are people who are ever learning or accessing more information than has ever been experienced before in life, yet never, according to verse 7, that's today, ever learning and not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus is the truth. The things of God, the character of God, the life of God. So if you're trusting in knowledge, you think knowledge is what all that I really need, there's always going to be this element, something's missing. There should be more to life than this. And I mean, this is the kind of thing, maybe along the way I get some feedback, but I think a lot of younger people who are growing up with all the devices and the flash, 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 bing, bang, boom, have a certain frustration. There's all this knowledge, but something's lacking or missing in life. And there are certain things only the Spirit of God Himself can give to us. Joy, peace, love, just life on the inside of us. The knowledge of the truth, it only comes from Him. So there's like this delusion that's formed where all I need's knowledge or information. I don't really need a teacher. I don't really need a mentor. I don't need a father. I don't need a pastor. This is what begins to form in people. Oh, I'll just look up the information. Well, you know, a little bit of information is more dangerous to you because you know enough that you can hurt yourself. You know, we need the wisdom of God and the understanding mixed with the knowledge. You need to know what to do with it. You know, when I illustrate in a certain area, you know, people, they get this knowledge about things relative to the whole health realm and food realm. But one man's medicine's another man's poison. You have to be able to discern, what do I need? You don't just read something, oh, everybody eat broccoli this week. That's not how it works. You have to be able to take the knowledge and apply it to you. So you have people, and I'm sure Dr. Joe can express his frustration with this. They can get online, read a little bit. They come in, they're the expert, and they're going to tell you. Probably encounter that every week, maybe every day. I don't know, maybe every 2 hours a day. Right? And that knowledge is dangerous, where they'll maybe treat themselves. Now, I believe you can do that if you have the wisdom that goes with it. But just the knowledge itself, you do something. Well, this person did that. Well, I don't mean that. That's what you need. So you have to be able to diagnose what is it that you need. And, you know, Dale and I were talking about this recently. A lot of people, especially when you're younger, but you can be an old fool too, you don't know what it is you don't know. You can just be getting all this information flood into your brain, but you don't even know, you know, if what it is you need to research out and learn more about. It takes the wisdom of God, or the wisdom of experience, to know, to lead someone to learn what they need to know. I remember back when I was learning guitar, and the brother that was teaching me was very, very skilled. And he used to encounter people that maybe they listened to a certain famous guitarist, and they would learn to imitate a certain lead riff that was well known. And they could play that riff. But they didn't have any foundations in them that they really understood music. All they could do is imitate that riff. So as long as that's the only thing they're trying to do, the only song they're trying to play, well, yeah, it sounded really cool. But they would develop bad habits and not learn the foundations to it, so they couldn't really write their own music. So he would have to, like, bring them back to, okay, we're going to start over, we're going to do this foundation, and what I'm going to have you do is going to bore you to tears, where you're going to form certain chords and put your fingers on and off the keyboard and then learn just to strum with the other hand. And if you don't have a passion to really develop, you won't submit to the training that's required. And it's like that in life. You know, sometimes, like getting the knowledge of certain things, we try to get ahead of ourselves, where the teacher, someone who's experienced and knows step by step, they know you have to master this before you go to this. And if you don't master this, you can't go to that next step. And until you do these things, you're not going to become that songwriter. You'll just be a mimicker, that you learn to play a certain riff, and you'll quickly get bored with that, because you can't release creativity without the foundations there. We're in this time where just the information age is so much there. And I remember, as I'm thinking about this, it was in the mid-90s, maybe about 95. And, of course, we had our school, Grace Academy. I remember talking with Janet and with Marie, Paul's wife. And we were seeing kids come into the school, kindergarten, who were being raised with videos. Now, this is just 25 years ago. Raised up in their playpen, being babysat with videos, because at that time The VCR came into every home. That was like revolutionary, a VCR. Because back in the old days, you were limited just to what was on like three channels of television. I remember as a kid, you know, we got like 2.5 channels. Two you could see pretty good, and the other one looked like it was a snowstorm. And you were limited to that. That's all you accessed. But then, you know, came the VCR, and cable started to come in then, and the VCR, and you had kids being raised up watching videos all the time. And it made it easier for parents because you didn't have to engage them. They just sort of be content, be quiet, not get in any trouble because they're just staring at my, I remember my uncle growing up. He, you know, he could see this coming. My one uncle called the idiot box. And I grew up hearing that kind of stuff. Of course, they were into shooting animals with guns and stuff, catching fish and all that. But it was a different age. There was a time change where it went like television, then to the video. But what we noticed is the kids coming in, kindergarten, first grade, we noticed a difference in those kids from the ones previous to that. And the difference was, there's a couple things. Those kids had trouble following verbal directions. The teacher saying, you know, take out a paper, draw a circle, draw a triangle, whatever. They had trouble with creativity because they weren't learning just to play and content themselves. I mean, as a kid, I invented my own games constantly. You know, you give a boy a rock and a stick. You know, he's got weapons. You know, he'll invent, you know, something there. You give the girl a rock, and that's a baby doll. But, you know, the creativity was not developing in kids. Following directions and learning how to interact with the other kids was at a lesser degree because they're, you know, just being babysat with videos. That's not even to say what were they watching, because in this time frame, you had a lot more subtle things being brought in that would be undermining the authority of God, witchcraft, and all that kind of stuff. And so you have that whole other realm as well. Well, then there's another change, and the change is happening so fast, it's hard to keep up with all this. So being I'm almost 65 in another week or so, I thought, it just hit me. I need to let myself be challenged by the Lord to have a greater understanding of the times. What's going on? What are y'all dealing with, especially younger guys, that you might not understand it or things lacking maybe I wouldn't even think about, but you're living it. Okay. So, you know, with all of the devices that we have, you know, it was greatly hailed. Now, let's go back mid-90s, the advent with computers getting a little bit more. You didn't need a whole basement to set one up, and it's getting a little more faster and all that. That this is like the great innovation of education. But there's more to education than just information. We have to learn to think, learn to solve problems, learn to think through things. And a lot of that's being reduced to where people are not being trained to think through things for themselves and solve problems. It's just somebody tell me. Well, that's dangerous. If you're looking for someone to always just tell you what to do and you don't understand why or how they arrive at that, you're going to be controlled by someone. Who's feeding that information? So we as a Christian, we want to learn not just understanding of things, but to hear the voice of God, that he can lead us to the right solution. Because there are a lot of times, there are situations no one can just tell you what to do. You need to know from the Spirit of God and have a conviction about it to walk it on through. I remember when Jesse decided to join the Army. He took the ASVAB test that they give to everybody going in. And they grade you by the past 20 years of people. And he scored in the 95th percentile. And he was shocked. He said, "Dad, I don't know how this happened." He thought he'd be like 60th percentile of everybody the previous 20 years. And it immediately came in my spirit. I said, "Jesse, that's because you're a reader." And he read for pleasure. I mean, he enjoyed it. Whether it was studying like a stock market or to read a Christian novel. Now, here's the thing with a novel. You would read, maybe it's like, say, 250 pages, and you're assimilating all this information and retain it to figure out who done it, if it's a whodunit story. Who killed, was it the butler or the mailman? Who done it? But you have to retain that information in your mind to figure out the mystery. Well, there's virtue in reading that kind of book. And that is you learn to assimilate and solve a problem. And that's what the Army was looking for. Can somebody think for themselves? So they were like pegging him to be a leader constantly. Because they saw he had the ability to think. Now, it's not that he was a genius, but we instilled the love for reading. And in Grace Academy, that was part of the goal and objective Janet set forth, to instill a love for reading. So with that, it's not just information, but learning to think. So in the information age, you can get conditioned, tap, 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 tell me what to do, and not really learn to think through problems, which will really be a severe limitation. Now, ever learning, not coming to the knowledge of the truth, having information about God's not knowing him. That's a sort of a starting point. You learn what his word says, but then we need to have the understanding of it, and on top of that, the wisdom's knowing what to do with that knowledge. So there's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and there's a building type of thing there. Back when, with the introduction with technology in the educational system, one of the things, and I sense this right in the beginning, but we've seen it play out, is that it's like an entertainment. So they would have, instead of just learning to count, something like lots of images flashing, you're seeing counting sheep or whatever, and it's like mental stimulation. And in itself, that's not like immoral or evil or anything like that. But the thing is, our brains was being trained that you have to be entertained or stimulated all the time. And if you don't find it stimulating, then you're bored. And I think boredom is something that has come along with this in a greater way in a lot of young people, is because of how the influence that's all around us, everything has to be fun, make me happy, entertaining, stimulating to the mind. And what we don't learn is how to be still and know that he's God, how to be quiet, how to meditate, how to listen for the voice of God. There's things like this that become very remote to us, very distant to us, because our brain's wired like flash, 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 image, image, noise, noise, image, image, noise, noise. And we wouldn't even necessarily realize that. I remember there was a time, this was probably about 25 years ago, and I was in my office, and I was getting interrupted frequently. And it dawned on me one day that, because you know, to pray and study, you need to be able to set yourself in some blocks of time. And in that process, you can really come into that place, you hear from God or gain an understanding of something in study. And I was getting interrupted with such frequency that it became a habit then for interruption. Became part of how my mind was beginning to be wired. And I found myself, after like a certain amount of time, if I wasn't interrupted, like a phone call coming in or something like that, I'd interrupt myself. I still remember that day. Yeah, I'd end up walking over, pulling a book off a shelf. And I'm sitting there thinking, what are you doing? You're studying this. What are you doing? You see, we can develop like a habit. We don't even realize it's happening. Well, you speed all this up. Now, that was some years ago where just with interruption, you know, now a lot of people, they don't communicate more than one sentence or two at a time, you know, with all the tweeting and all that kind of stuff. And that can be a useful tool. However, if that's how you communicate, you end up, you can't think beyond just this little blips. And to what degree that's run through our whole society, I don't know. Some of you maybe would know that better, much better than I would, because you're living and moving in those realms where you have people who just, you know, their ability to communicate is so dramatically reduced. And my wife and I, you know, and this really annoyed her because she's a communicator, and she gets so aggravated. We have all these tools, and people won't even check their tool. I put a prayer request out, and you hear back 2 days later. Oh, you know, we got that. And that annoys her like endlessly to no end. Now, she won't say that because she's a nice person, but she'll say it to me. You know, where you have all the tools, but people are actually decreasing in their ability to communicate effectively. And you see it in our society. Well, these are just byproducts. Please hear me right. I'm not like against the times. I'm not against the change. I love my iPad. But we have to realize with a change in the times, it's changing things around us. And some of these things are counterproductive to our spiritual growth and development. Now, you all know I'm a dog person, and we got our new puppy. She'll turn 2 actually next week. And never had one like this. This shepherd was beyond any shepherd we ever had before. And it's because of breeding. Her instinct, her DNA. You know, my wife and I say she was bred for a military dog. You know, a guy we got to help us with training said, I never saw a dog with that high of a pain threshold. And you might say, well, what's that have to do with anything? Well, she was wired like so intense, maybe an intensity is a better word to say, that she can ignore pain. And, you know, she'd do a little bit for food, but you want a dog like that to obey your commands or they're dangerous. I mean, it could be dangerous. Not to us necessarily, but her instinct to protect so strong, we get concerned. A stranger walks up the street, she's not going to literally fly through the glass window because she's going to protect her mommy. She's going to protect the house. She's going to protect us. And that instinct's just so strong. But she's so intense. She's kind of like wound tight. So in order to make a good dog out of her, there had to be this imposed training. Your flesh will be brought into subjection, or be sober-minded, young men. Sharing that word last night. Self-controlled. Her flesh has to be in control. So, and some people, oh, poor puppy dog, you know, could have a problem with this, but we have to use a shock collar. And the trainer said, you know, we had to get like a stronger one and then crank it. He said, I never saw a dog with that high of a pain threshold. She could ignore. And you might start going, don't you know? It's just getting shocked. But she had to learn. That could sound cruel. She had to learn you will obey our command and not do what your instinct or what you want to do. That cannot override the command of your master. Now, there's a spiritual correlation here. We need to obey the commandments of Jesus and not just let out the instinct of our flesh, what we want to do or what we feel. That cannot dominate us. So there might be some stronger measures need to be taken. You know, some little puppy dog, you know, maybe they're fine. You give them a little biscuit or something and they'll do whatever. But this type of animal has a much higher capability and they actually like the training and the work. But you must command their flesh. It's not an option. It has to be done. We have to realize that we have to come under submission to our master, Jesus, and not let the flesh master us. You know, so we have, and you know, now she's doing really well, but we needed help to train to bring her flesh in subjection to our commands. And she's a happy girl. She loves us and all the rest. But her instinct is very, very strong. Well, one of the things that we realize with her is she is so intense, you cannot overstimulate her. Like some dogs, you can come in and go, yeah, yeah, woo, yeah, and they're just all happy and run around in circles. Do that with that dog, she's going to jump into you. Overstimulation. You know, she sees a rabbit. She's stimulated. The chase is on. But she has to learn if we command for her to stop, down, that she's going to obey us because the failure to do that, the dog could end up hit by a car. She takes off runs. And you know there's a car coming. She's going to run into the street. Will she obey that kind of command? Their life could depend on it. Well, there's an ailment where with the incorporation of all the technology, it can produce an overstimulation of the mind. The mind's going too fast. And people can't just be still and relax. This dog, I've never yet seen her sleep outside of her crate. Most dogs always lay down and go to sleep. Wake up and run. That dog has not once slept outside of that crate. It's because she's that intense. Her mission, her life is to protect. Her passions to chase something. So, you know, she loves playing ball. But what's even better, if it's a bird or rabbit or squirrel in the yard. I mean, this is pure joy for this dog to chase something down. Of course, if she was being trained like his war dog, police dog, is to chase the criminal, you see all that. You know, they're trained to do those things. But we have to be mindful not to overstimulate her mind, that she's more conscious of obeying us on our commandments. Now, I'm saying this purely illustrative, not just to go on talking about my dog, but to illustrate how much we like this dog. There are things that you like to do, and there's times you have to hear the voice of God that says, no, you know, there's a command of the Lord, you need to stop. And you have the element of the overstimulation of the mind. And I remember back when I heard the educational systems were incorporating all this digital stuff, are kids going to be able just to be able to think and solve a problem and dig in? Because some things are repetitious. Your progressive studies like mathematics and language, you have to drill. There's no way around it. And drills are boring. You know, teachers will try and make it fun. Well, we'll make a game, you know, with the drills and reviewing for tests and that. But the bottom line, drilling's not mentally stimulating. It's not exciting, but it's necessary to learn certain things. So what happens if you're being trained, everything has to be stimulating and entertaining, then there are certain things you'll be averse to doing that would incorporate the boring side of things, drill. And I think with the development of all this, a lot of young people are easily bored. Easily bored. Why? Because their mind's trained this way. And we have to learn, as it says in Psalm 46, be still and know he's God, or learn to listen for his voice. To learn to think through things or to meditate the word of God. Because that's where a lot of understanding and revelation is going to flow out from, as we're just pondering these things and meditating upon these things. Again, to learn something like guitar, there are drills you have to do. You'll never have the skills. So I just felt a stirring in my heart, and I wasn't sure even how do I reconcile all this together with where I was starting out with the self-control and so forth. But I feel I need to bring this to our thought. The change of the times. The changing of the times. And you younger guys, this is what you're growing up around. And we need to be conscious of this. Another thing, that there well may be a tendency towards, and I don't propose I know or understand all this, but social interaction, and we really saw it with this COVID, and people, you're going to be at school at home, wear a mask on your face, don't interact, stay 6 feet away from people. This is all extremely counterproductive to growth and development. So if we just orient this, well, just information, myself, you have a lack of development of the relational side of things. And we could easily end up with a generation or people that don't know how to relate, don't know how to have friends, but your heart, you were created for that, and your heart will want that, but people not knowing really how to do that. How to interact. And you have, and I've heard this, you know, you have like families, they don't really talk together like maybe it used to be. And you have this breakdown that begins to happen. My wife and I will take notes. We might like go to a restaurant and there's a family of four sitting there and they're all on their phones. To me, that's like an insult. I mean, you get together, you should want to communicate, talk. And so how much is that happening where there's a struggle with the relational side? So then you have people go on, and again, there's certain things that are missing. And they don't even know where to start or don't know, well, what is it that I'm missing? I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not content. And the relational side of life is part of our life, part of the needs of human beings, where you have friendships. And I mentioned last night, men will tend to make friendships with other men that they're working with or working towards some goal. Where everything's just you, yourself, where's that going to come from? People think they have friends because they have 200 Facebook friends. A Facebook friend's not a friend. You know, and all of the self-absorption people have, you know, with all the selfies. Well, here's me in a grocery store. Here's me driving my car. Here's me, this and that. And it's just me, 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 me. Look at me. And almost like there's a competition who can come up with the greatest selfie. And every now and then I'll read somebody falls to their death off a cliff taking a selfie, and they want other people to envy. Wow, you know, you're at a really cool place. Wish I could be there. You ever see this kind of post, this kind of stuff? I mean, it's out there, and it's so sad because there's things that are going to be missing. Now, that can turn for good. My prayer is, Lord, help people to be dissatisfied with all of this, that they yearn for that which is real and true. See, in my generation, as a young person, when I came to the Lord, we had the Vietnam War going on, the race riots going on, late 60s into early 70s. You had a drug counterculture going full steam back then. Some of you remember this. It was turbulent times. The late 60s were a turbulent time. The early 70s. And you had all this going on, and there was this yearning in the heart of many of our young people my age. What is the truth? Where is life? A lot of the church realm was just religious and outward and lacking the power of God. And there was this cry to know those things. And there was a great move of God in this nation where many people like myself and some of you came to Jesus at that time and found life's in Christ. But we felt we were lacking. Something's missing. Something's missing in that day and that time. And the same type of things being experienced again for some different reasons. Something's missing. But people don't know what it is or where to find it. Well, the life's in Christ. And we won't really learn the depths of the things of Christ if we don't devote ourselves godliness, which you're not going to do that if you don't first see him for who he is. He is love. He is good. Anything good I'm going to really encounter and experience, anything of value, it's in him. And we begin to devote ourselves to know him. And then there's the unfolding just continues. And there's a learning, but we're learning the knowledge of the truth. We're not just getting information. Because information alone makes people prideful and puffed up. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says that. And you have many young people that will go to college, and there's this accelerated information from some of the sources are ungodly in that their doctrine, so to speak, undermines the truth that their parents were raising them with, and they become wackos. I'm putting it nicely. You know, all this liberal garbage. And they, what happened to this person? Well, they entered into a realm of deception, but you see, the pride comes first. Oh, you're so smart. You're smarter than your mom and dad. They don't know anything. This thought begins to come in because of all that information. People think they're so smart. I call it being book smart, life stupid. But when you understand, you know, like the understanding, the knowledge of God in these things, you know, you'll have a respect for those that are older, those who have experience or training in an area and trying to pick their brain. What can I learn from them rather than, you know, like we know everything because we have access to knowledge. Well, I've just finished with the verse over here in 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, I mentioned last night, verse 3, doctrine or the instruction of the Lord is according or flows out of godliness. You first devote yourself to follow him. Down at verse 5, it says, the perverse people think that gain is godliness. And he says, pull back from them. Like just to accumulate money and things isn't a greater virtue in life. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Or if we learn to live a devoted life, being content in the Lord, you will gain or you will increase. We should be ever increasing in every way, spirit, soul, body, financial, and all the rest. But it's in the devoted life, devotion to the truth, devotion to God and His ways, that you will increase and that there be gain. He says, he speaks of having food and clothing, be content. It's like boredom is discontentment. If you always have to be stimulated, flash, 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 noise, 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 image, 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 you actually are being trained not to be content. You have to have this overstimulation, which leads you to be out of control. Like the dog, if she's too stimulated, she'll go out of control. She needs to be brought into awareness when she comes out of that crate. We are your master, and you will obey our commands. And if you do that, we'll feed you, and we'll pet you, and love you, and all the rest. But that authority has to be established there. And as we are, we're devoted to Him, He bless us. Well, we learn to be content with that, that we're not falling into lust thinking, oh, I need more of this, more of that, do this, this fun, that fun. And it destroys our life. And he goes on and says, the love of money is the root of all evil, or it's actually in the Greek, all kinds of evil. There's many types of evil. If you think that the greater goal is wealth, but rather it's the things of God working in us, which will bring blessing into our life. Verse 11, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. It's something to be pursued. That you have a disciplined life, a devotion in the relationships of your life, a devotion to God. You're committed to it, loyal, passionate in what you're doing for Him.